Hello, I'm Emily Falk. I'm a professor of communication, psychology, and marketing at the University of Pennsylvania, where I direct Penn's Communication Neuroscience Lab and the Climate Communication Division of the Annenberg Public Policy Center. My new book, What We Value, tells the story of how the brain makes choices and how we can leverage that information to change ourselves and connect with others. When I first started my research career, I was interested in how the brain makes decisions as a way to reveal hidden wisdom that would be useful to create better health campaigns and persuasive messages. After some early successes in using brain imaging to predict the success of behavior change interventions, I got even more interested in helping people reach goals that they define and helping more closely align how they spend their day-to-day with those bigger picture goals. For myself, I knew that there were compelling reasons in the moment that even though I had a goal to exercise and improve my health, for example, I'd still often get sucked into work emails, prioritizing time for my students in my lab, to say nothing of the whisper in the back of my mind, reminding me to find space for quality time with my 99-year-old grandma Bev, since our time together is finite. What was happening in my brain that led to these choices? Why were these the choices I was making? And why did I keep making those choices, even though when I took time to pause, I'd see that this was not really who I wanted to be? Was there a way to do it differently? Or at least to understand what was going on in a different way? Research from my lab and others highlights that many of our choices come down to fundamental questions about how we see ourselves and how we connect with others. When we understand how our brains work, we can see that we have the capacity to consider a much broader range of choices than we think, that we never make a choice in isolation, and that with each decision, we are actively shaping both ourselves and the world we live in. This has changed the way that I make decisions, how I see my own and others' capacity to change, and how I interact with other people. Understanding how the brain makes decisions has also made me feel more compassion toward myself and others when we make decisions that we later regret. As an analogy, many of us can cook a basic meal. But when we understand the chemistry behind the cooking, it makes it easier to get creative, to swap out ingredients and recipes to make new creations, or to diagnose where things went wrong when a cooking project goes awry. Likewise, my hope is that understanding how your brain works might allow you to explore different paths in your decision-making, make changes that are aligned with your goals, and connect with others in new ways. With this in mind, I want to share five big ideas that I've found useful and that I hope you will find useful as well. Idea one, our brains shape what we value, even when we don't realize it. Neuroscience research, first in monkeys and then in humans, has shown that daily decisions that define our lives, like whether I should go for a run, are handled by the brain's value system, a network of regions that compute everyday choices in a process known as the value calculation. This happens whether we're aware of it or not. Each choice we make is first shaped by what options our brain considers in the first place. When I imagined choosing between doing a run or extra work, other options, like heading to a karaoke bar with my coworkers, attending a line dance with friends, or going for a walk with my grandma Bev, rarely entered the calculation at all. In the next phase of decision-making, the value system assigns a subjective relative worth to each choice based on our past experiences, current context, and future goals. Going for a run is hard. It's the end of the day, and I'm already tired. My collaborator always seems so pleased when I get back to her right away. Sure, the run would be good for my health, but look how many unread emails there are. So I choose to finish up the emails. After we choose, the value system also keeps track of how things went, making us more likely to repeat choices that were more rewarding than we expected, and less likely to repeat choices that were less rewarding than we expected. After choosing the work, sure, my body felt kind of blah, but my students were making progress on interesting problems, and that felt good. Importantly, the value our brains assign to different choice options is dynamic and can shift depending on context, like what mood we're in, what other people around us are saying or doing, and which parts of the choice we pay attention to. Understanding this can help us identify opportunities to change and ways to align our choices with our bigger picture goals and values. For me, I knew I needed to find a way to make moving around and spending time with people I loved more compelling to my brain in the moment. But what was in the way? Idea 2. Our brains shape and limit who we are. Our sense of who we are is an important factor in shaping our choices. Neuroscientists have identified brain regions that help construct our sense of me and not me. And when we make decisions, this self-relevance is deeply intertwined with the value system. Together, they guide us toward choices that are aligned with our perceptions of who we already are. It can be useful to have a coherent sense of who we are, but it also limits us. We tend to favor choices that reinforce our existing identity, sometimes at the cost of new opportunities and experiences. When I kept choosing work, my identity as a hardworking researcher who always hit deadlines and who invested in mentoring students weighed heavily in my value calculations. I didn't think of myself as a real athlete, and in the process, I deprived myself of chances to improve as a runner, a dancer, or any number of other options. A mountain of research data shows that I'm not alone in this. Most of us cling to the ideas and behaviors we think of as ours, a phenomenon called the endowment effect. Sometimes this helps us affirm our core values and reinforce choices that are compatible with longer-term goals. But it can also leave us with a bounded notion of self, meaning that it limits the way we see ourselves. When confronted with evidence that our past behaviors weren't optimal, or that others want us to do things differently, it can make us defensive, leading us to double down on our past choices, which can make change harder. When my grandma told me that she wished we could spend more time together, I barely got it together to let her finish her sentence before defensively explaining that of course we spent time together. She'd come to my house and hang out with my kids while I cooked dinner, and often we'd even steal a few minutes to walk around the block together. But no, she patiently explained, that was not what she was after. It wasn't until later, when I was able to take a step back and think about what really matters to me, that I was able to see that what she was asking for was something that I wanted too. Idea 3. We don't decide alone. Neuroscientists have identified brain regions that help us understand what other people think and feel. The brain's social relevance system helps us connect and coordinate with other people and also shapes the decisions we make. In fact, our sense of what others are doing or think is desirable strongly shapes what we choose, what we're willing to change, and the possibilities we see for ourselves and others. More generally, feeling a sense of status, belonging, and connection serve as powerful rewards, and whether we realize it or not, we often make choices shaped by these forces. When I imagined what other researchers were doing, I imagined them hard at work making progress, not going for runs or walks with their grandmas. It was important to me to be seen as a serious scientist. When I imagined my collaborators' appreciation of my speedy email replies and my students' gratitude for timely feedback, the decision to keep working made even more sense. But although the social relevance system can help us understand others, it can also mislead us. I was imagining what others would think and feel if I left work, and my social relevance system was very convincing, even though in reality, I don't actually know. I had never fact-checked those assumptions. The same can be said when our social relevance system paints such a vivid picture that we feel certain we know why a coworker didn't invite us to lunch or why our spouse is frustrated. By keeping us aligned with others, the social relevance system can do useful things, like keep us current on trends, or can do harmful things, like deluding us into agreeing with popular but patently false social media posts. It also shapes what we think is acceptable and desirable when it comes to whether we should spend a beautiful fall afternoon at the office or on a jog. Idea 4. We can work with our brains to create change. Many of us have been taught that hard work and pain are necessary for achievement. Theodore Roosevelt went so far as to suggest that nothing in the world is worth having or worth doing unless it means effort, pain, difficulty. But neuroscience research highlights how small shifts in how we frame our decisions can change our value calculations. My hope is that understanding how this works might make change easier. Our value system serves as the bridge between where we are now and where we want to be. And the self and social relevance systems shape what we value. If we want to change ourselves, the people we care about, or even society, we need to harness these systems and leverage key ingredients for change, such as shifting our focus, letting go of defensiveness, and expanding where the inputs to our value calculations come from in the first place. Based on what we know about the brain's value system, we can shift our focus to different aspects of a situation to align our emotions with our objectives. For instance, we can leverage the brain's natural tendency to prioritize immediate gratification to make future-oriented choices feel more rewarding in the present. Instead of choosing between immediate and future rewards, we can find ways to bridge them. Returning to the whisper in the back of my mind, reminding me to spend more time with my grandma, I knew I needed to find a way to make going for walks with Bev compatible with the other immediate pressures weighing in my value calculations. Then one day, walking home from work, a podcast episode I was listening to created a small bridge in my thinking about my afternoons. The episode of How to Save a Planet highlighted the joy of biking. What if instead of driving to Bev's, arriving stressed from traffic and struggling to find parking, I biked? What if I had some time to myself outside and got some exercise en route? All of a sudden, the immediate reward of checking something off my work to-do list was offset by the opportunity to enjoy a bike ride like the laughing people on the podcast, in addition to the reward of spending time with my grandma. Hearing these regular people teetering around on bikes also made me think I could be that kind of person. There was still the issue of not wanting my grandma to be right when she pointed out that we weren't spending very much quality time together. Should I admit I was wrong? Using what we know about the self-relevance system to combat defensiveness, we can focus on self-transcendent values, which focus on the things that matter most to us. Zooming out like this to focus on our core values, or the well-being of others in the world, allows us to see that being wrong about something doesn't have to mean we're a bad person, or that everything about us has to change. We can hold on to a core sense of self while opening ourselves to changing what's not working, and letting go of preconceived notions of who we are. Finally, turning to the social relevance system, the people who immediately come to mind when we make choices get outsized influence. When I was thinking about the people I spent my days with at work, it made work rewards salient. And this isn't just true for decisions about how we spend our afternoons. All kinds of decisions, from the products we buy to what we think is important politically, are shaped by the voices we imagine most readily. Research shows that the people we spend time with are often similar to us in many ways. To counteract known biases in the social relevance system, we can audit who is and isn't part of our social networks and actively bring in new ideas through what we read, listen to, and who we spend time with. This expands our universe of choices, provides new and unexpected perspectives, and makes us better at coming up with creative solutions to problems. Idea 5. Shaping the future starts in our minds. Our choices don't just shape our own lives. They ripple outward, influencing culture and collective values. Research shows that norms are deeply shaped by those around us. Just as observing others influences our value calculations, we serve as role models for the people who see what we do. In this way, our own value calculations influence the people around us. So when I share stories about my grandma with my students and colleagues, I'm not just telling them about my family. I'm opening up a possibility for them to prioritize spending time with their loved ones, too. Consciously and unconsciously, our actions change what others value. The way we see ourselves can influence what is possible for others, and what we think is possible shapes the culture of the future. I hope that you enjoy what we value and that it expands your sense of what is possible.